Ho, ho, ho! You know, many find it hard to believe I own a sleigh that can fly. But you know what I find hard to believe? The unbelievable offers going on at the Winter Event.
The Mercedes-Benz Winter Event is back with incredible offers on the sporty CLA, the thrilling C-Class, the versatile GLA, the safe and secure GLE, the innovative GLC, and of course, the unequaled E-Class. But hurry, because these sleighs are going fast. Visit mbusa.com/winter-event. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's segment of the National International Roundtable. I'm Denise Newton. I'll be joined tonight by my co-host, Nia Vasquez-Gales, and hopefully Sherry Cannon will be able to also join us. We hope that you have had a great week. We hope that if you are in the Texas side of the country, particularly in those areas that's been hardest hit by this devastating hurricane, we're praying that that you're safe and that the rebuilding process will begin as soon as possible and that your lives can return to some sense of normalcy as soon as possible. And please know that we are definitely still praying as a nation, as individuals, for you, and this is probably one of the most devastating storms that we've had in this country, but we definitely got you on our minds and in our thoughts and in our prayers in these coming days as the rebuilding process begins. So know that you've got your country firmly behind you. We thank all of our listeners from around the continental USA and also abroad for listening to tonight's show. We're going to be doing a couple of things tonight. Of course, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about this storm that I just alluded to a few minutes ago. We're also going to be, I try to feature a millennial as often as I can on this show, young people that are, you know, doing great things. We so often hear such negative talk about our kids, about our teenagers, about our young people. I try to bring on some positive young people, show that some of them are definitely trying to take the bull by the horns and get their lives to where they want it and walk in their purpose. And so anyway, tonight is no exception. Please forgive that lull. I was actually answering the message right then. But anyway, back again. Let me go ahead and welcome my co-host. One of them is on the line with me already. Mia, hi. How are you tonight?
I'm faring well. Faring well as always. And you?
Not bad at all. Not bad. Not bad. It's good to, I'm glad to have you with me tonight. I know you've been keeping up with the, or at least paying attention to this devastating storm in Texas, and I know that you've been sending up your prayers on their behalf as well.
Yes, yes, that I. Okay. Pardon me, you know, it's very disheartening news. You know, my heart and empathy and sentiments definitely go out to all parties impacted, you know, by this devastating storm. And I'm looking forward to an resolution.
Absolutely, absolutely. I did hear earlier that the sun was out for a little bit today in Houston. And in fact, it was shining pretty brightly. So I definitely hope that this is the beginning of seeing some of those floodwaters receding because these people have really taken a hit since last weekend. And it is definitely devastating. And this is a time when the best of humanity steps forward. I want to know what I can do as an individual to reach out to the people in Houston. I was saying today that when I was stationed at Fort Polk, Louisiana, some years ago, I used to be in Houston a lot. I used to love to go down there and go shopping, and I used to fly in and out of Houston. And so, you know, so I do have an attachment somewhat to Houston, and I certainly hate to see what these men, women, and children are having to endure. So, yeah, I'm definitely going to continue praying for them. So, anyway, tonight we're going to do a couple of things. I'm not sure if Sherry will be able to join us. If not, Mia and I will go forward, and hopefully Sherry will be able to come on. Haven't spoken to her in a bit now. I know she stays super busy with the work that she does as well. We're going to be talking to a young man tonight that I've known since he was a little boy, Kavante Davis. Kavante is a student at North Carolina A&T State University here in North Carolina. I am just so proud of Kavante. I've watched him grow up and to see him become a man and got his focus, and he's ready to go and take his place in the world. And I am excited to have him to visit with us tonight and tell us about what he's doing and what his future plans are. And so that is going to be an awesome thing to hear from him tonight. And also, I'm going to let you hear a song. If you've never heard of Skylar Jett, Skylar used to be my radio co-host. We co-hosted a radio show for about 5 years here on Blog Talk Radio. Skylar replaced Lionel Richie. If you know anything about the musical group The Commodores, when Lionel Richie left The Commodores, Skylar Jett became lead singer of The Commodores, and he has performed with some of the biggest names in the entertainment industry, Celine Dion and Whitney Houston and Luther Vandross and Sting and Patti LaBelle. He has performed with some of the biggest names in entertainment. He wrote and produced the song a few years ago. It was called A Calling, and it is just so fitting for what we see going on in Texas right now. So we're going to play that song for you, and I ask you to just listen in and let it get into your heart. Skylar is a humanitarian. He likes to take on the humanitarian causes, and he tries to perform humanitarian works through his music. And his music is called Music Can Change the World. And he does a fabulous job. He has a beautiful voice, as you'll find out here very shortly. And then, of course, we want to talk. And we'll have probably Jay Garnett with us a little bit later in the show. He was with us before. He has a movement called Love is a Parable. He'll be stopping by so that we can continue to support that movement that he has going. But for now, the young man in question that I mentioned to you a few minutes ago, Mr. Kavante Davis. Again, I've been knowing Kavante since he was a young boy. He was a best friend to my nephew. I've watched him grow. Very respectful young man, hardworking. And the thing that I think I love the absolute most about Kavante is that he has his focus. He knows where he wants to go, and he's doing what he needs to do to get there. And he's a millennial on the move is what I'm calling him tonight. He's a millennial on the move, and I do believe that every goal that Kavante has set for himself, he will definitely make them come to fruition with the help of God. It's going to happen. I'm very excited about having him on tonight. So, again, let me just read his brief bio, and then we're going to bring him on in and talk to him and get behind him and just push him forward, because I really do think an awful lot of him. Again, his name is Kavante Davis. He's a construction management major at North Carolina A&T University, and he is definitely a millennial on the move. And we'd like to welcome now to the National International Roundtable, Mr. Kavante Davis.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Kavante. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me be on the show.
Oh, absolutely. I am so proud of you. I'm just as excited, Kavante, to have you on the show as I was when I had people like Melba Moore and Sheila E. and some other, people, household name people. I'm very excited because I believe that you are an example of what hard work and dedication and focus will do. And so one of the things that we do here at this show, I don't ask a whole lot of questions. I let my guests do the talking. And so I want you to know that you got a audience tonight. There's already people listening. I see them on my switchboard already, so they want to hear what you got to say. So I guess my first question to you would be, you chose construction management as a major. So kind of tell us what made you pursue, what that field is, and what made you pursue that particular line of work.
Okay, so I chose construction management. At first, I was a computer engineering major at St. Aug University,
mm-hmm.
and then I transferred to A&T to where I had to decide my major. I didn't know if I wanted to do computer engineering. Like, I could do computer engineering, but I didn't want to sit mm-hmm. Sit at a desk all day. I also wanted to do, like, hands-on work, like, mm-hmm. build stuff and watch it build from the ground up and also have a desk job. I wanted to do both. I wanted to play both sides of the field. And so I knew construction could, like, allow me to do that. To where, like, as a construction manager, I could be in the office looking at some blueprints, typing up specs or doing inspection reports, and then also being out on the field taking pictures of my contractors and stuff, making sure they get the job done. To where, like, I just enjoy, and I love to be around people. So I just felt like that was the right major for me.
Wow, that is awesome. I'm telling you what, I just love it. And, you know, and honestly, before I heard you talk about construction management, I didn't even realize that was a major. I guess, I mean, of course, I wouldn't know. I'm not an A&T, but, you know, but it's awesome. I mean, because I love, like, when I'm riding through big cities, and I look, and I always get so fascinated when I see these skyscrapers. I have always been fascinated with skyscrapers, and I used to wonder, how did they do that? You know, how in the world did they make that building that tall? Or even when I see these bridges, these tunnels and all that, I just get really, really fascinated. And when I was younger, I used to go searching and try to get those answers. So I think that's a very interesting field that you're going into. And I see that you were at St. Augustine University in Raleigh, North Carolina, before going to A&T. So was it important to you to attend an HBCU, or it just kind of worked out like that?
Yes, it was very important for me to go to a HBCU because I just love my culture, and I just had to, like, go there and support them,
mm-hmm.
excel to my best, and, oh, my God, it just, my dad had went to St. Aug, my uncles had went to St. Aug, and, like, I just love to be around my people, so that's why I chose HBCU. And people really speak down on HBCUs because they feel like we don't get the same type of education that I believe. But I believe it's like we get the same education, we get the same thing other universities can do.
Yeah. Indeed. No question. I mean, some of your top lawmakers and medical professionals and legal professionals graduated from HBCUs. So definitely, it's very comparable. Mia, you got a question for Cavante before I go any further?
Well, I guess my question would be aligned with what are your strategies for maintaining your focus? I'm definitely an advocate and a novice of focus and all things communication and concentration.
Okay. My strategy is to maintain my focus. I try to take each day by day. I take my second by second. Like, each second is a big factor to me. Like, I try to organize myself to where if I have to do any homework, I make time for that. If I have to cook, I make time for that. Play basketball, I make time for that. And I always try to, like, maintain that, like, I try to keep consistency. because that's one thing. It's hard to lose consistency, so I try to keep it, keep telling myself. And I also, like, do little Facebook posts. I'm here to motivate myself, as in, like, I put strive for greatness. And that's about the way I can explain it.
Okay, well, that's very well.
You did it.
I'm sorry.
Definitely. Yes, I do agree. Very well stated. So, and then I'm asked this question, and I give it back to Mia. So my next question is, what do you think, and we all know what's going on right now in the city of Houston and other parts of Texas where the storm has been so very devastating. But what are your thoughts about the rebuilding process? Or if you have any thoughts about that, about how to rebuild Houston, or what you would like to see with infrastructure in this country?
Rebuild, oh, my God.
You think more needs to be done with our bridges, and especially with these systems designed to keep these waters, from flowing into the cities? What do you think about those things?
Oh, yeah, they definitely need to be rebuilt to where, like, it's in good material. I don't know the material for the bridges yet, but definitely they should work on it. And I also had a friend in Houston. His name was Reese Spate, and I was told that he had lost everything, and his mom is trying to do a fundraiser for him to where me and my homeboy sent some money, but we said, we can, though, but it wasn't a lot, but it was something just know that we care about. So I feel like that's what the city of Houston, the state of Texas should do.
Absolutely. Mia?
Well, I might interject just to clarify so I can answer specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Your question precisely was.
Well, I was asking about the rebuilding process in Houston, and obviously it's almost like the whole city going to need to be rebuilt after this, because there's so much damage, extensive damage from the storm. So what do you think as a nation we need to do, or our leaders in this nation need to do, to keep minimal damage from storms like this from occurring again?
Oh, boy. Definitely proactive measures. Again, that goes back to the infrastructure. I would say just, testing things ahead of time, encouraging residents to do the same in regards to their homes and their properties. It's unfortunate, but, it appears as though this is another quasi Katrina. I hate to make a reference to it, but,
yes.
All is not lost. I believe, Katrina did rise from the ashes, and I believe that the same can be done there in Texas as well.
Oh, that's a very good point. And you said something very profound in that just like we have tornado drills and we have fire drills and things like that, maybe there needs to be some kind of drills go on for hurricanes. Individuals in their homes need to make more provision, especially if you live in an area, I think, that are more prone to those type of storms, that you need to be more mindful of them. Because even though they've been broadcasting the coming of the storm for a while now, I think sometimes we don't think they're going to get as bad as what we hear on TV. That's what I really believe. But I'm glad to see that it looks like at least the rain is about to stop. Kavante, back to you. So what are your future plans? So when you graduate from North Carolina A&T, how are you going to take the bull by the horns and make your mark on the world? What are your plans?
Okay, my plans are over the summer, I recently got an internship at Seattle, Washington, working for King County Metro Design and Construction.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my supervisor was Isaiah Paulette. He went to ECU and transferred to LSU, and he was in the NFL, and he's a brother. He's one of them guys that look out for the youth and try to help them. So that's what he did with me. He put me under his wing, and this is my first intern ever. And, like, I really didn't know as much about construction. Like, I knew the book part, but I didn't know, like, the experience and the hands-on part. And he worked with me every day, day and night. And it actually made me feel a lot better to where I could actually explain what I want to do. So for now, I'm at my senior at NET. So when I graduate, I plan on going back to Seattle, Washington, being a construction manager for the county, and probably focus more on myself in that few years, and then that's when I'll try to work towards my state, to my hometown, so I can, like, try to get somebody on at the same job that I'm working with. I like to work with each other. Like, that's the thing that we don't deal with in this generation. Nobody likes to work with each other. You always got to outdo somebody. So I want to bring somebody with me so they can see that, like, you know, it's something out of North Carolina. It's something out of the States.
Wow.
It's been a good journey. But what I do want to do when I do start as a construction manager, I'm actually want to try to save up some money to where, like, I could give back to, like, the Woodson Public County Schools, like, give them book bags or school supplies out of my own money just for anybody who needs it. Yeah, I actually talked to an alumni from A&T. Me and him been discussing the plan about that. So hopefully in the future we can have something like that to where we could just mentor them, because I believe it starts with the kids first. And
yes,
that's one of my goals.
Oh, that is, I tell you, it just makes me proud to hear you talk about that. I would hate to see you go all the way to Seattle, but hey, you got to go out there to get your start and plant your feet and get going in your career. Then you do what you got to do. That is one thing, and I like that Mia asked you her first question about how you keep your focus, because I think when it comes to a lot of young people and some of us older folks too, one of the reasons that we do fall short of our goals and aspirations is because we don't keep our focus. And I know that there are a ton of distractions out there today that could take you off of your focus, but it seems like you're very grounded. You know what you need to do, and you keep moving towards that. And there's a lot of people hearing you say that tonight, and that's very important. And I appreciate that, because all of the young people that listen to this show tonight, you need to take a page out of his playbook. You got to get your focus. You got to keep your focus. You hear him say he don't take things day by day. He take them second by second. So that lets you know that his focus is before him at all times. Mia?
Yeah, well, once again, I would have to – I commend you, you know, for your degree of focus, you know, being as young and youthful as you are. And, you know, just applaud you, whatever your formula is, you've alluded to it. Just to continue on with that, just to press onward and inspire others along the way. It sounds like you've already been doing that, though. And I also applaud you for the work that you are doing in regards to your charity work, your humanitarian. Pardon me.
Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. It's refreshing. Because I want to have a lot of hope in your millennial generation that the baton that we pass to you guys, that you'll be able to take that baton and run way further than we did and move along in a positive direction culturally and personally and, you know, individually or what, however else you got to do it, just moving in a positive direction. That's very important. So let me ask you something that's a little bit off topic in regards to what you're doing. But as a millennial, one in the millennial generation, what do you feel about this? I can't even call it a sudden rise, but this 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 ongoing white supremacy, racial stuff that we're starting to see. How are you, your generation, and people in your age group, how are y'all viewing this? Now, we know that racism never went away. It just never went away.
Yeah.
But we're seeing it become a little bit louder and more visible mm-hmm. than it has been in the past. So question one is, how are you guys viewing this? And two, what do you think should be done to try to keep that at bay or to try to address that?
Okay. My generation, we see it, and basically it's trying to, like, open our eyes. Like, you know, we need to stick together. We need to command our respect, because they don't want us to be together. And when they see
right.
us going against each other, we helping them out.
Mm.
Like, let me see. I'm trying to think of an example. Okay, for example, let's say I'm working at a fast food restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
You got two white guys and you got two black guys. If
mm-hmm.
one of the white, if the white guys get in trouble at that restaurant or something happens, they're going to try to figure out some type of plan or way that they can avoid so like getting in trouble. Like, they're going to work together so they won't get in trouble, if you get what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But
yes.
I ain't saying all black people are like this, but I'm saying, though, if it's the two black guys, one of them will be like, it's everything for themselves. They're like, yeah. Well, they might ask me, I'm a
right.
two, or I'm a so-called, quote-unquote, snitch or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I'm saying. Basically, like, we all need to come together. Times are changing. We can do it. And
yes.
It's just so much stuff I can't like express, but like that's one of my goals, is just to see like other black people work together. Like, that's my primary goal. But I never try to downvote any black person. Not even like people like that's not even the same career path as I am. Like, I got one friend
mm-hmm.
who wants to be a DJ, and I got another friend who don't know if he wants to go to college. And I try to, like, work with them so they can, like, just figure out what they want to do, and because I want to see them succeed. And
right.
I feel like if we all just put our money together, we can have more money.
Mm. That's a good point and a good topic right there, because I was just talking to somebody earlier today that was talking about how we need to certainly start more businesses in communities of color, because we just don't have enough of them. And in order to do that, it is going to take a sense of unity and people coming together with one mind, you know, and one goal to build up the community. So I definitely agree with you on that. Mia?
Pardon me, yes. Again, I also share, mm-hmm. as always, I share your sentiments. Just in regards to, you know, the white supremacy issues, we all know where it's emanating from.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my perspective, my mind's eye, I say deflect it to the best of your ability.
Yes.
And, again, you
yeah.
know, maintain the focus, because it's just yet another distraction. Tune in, you know, to the information
Big
that's
one.
Needed and just discharge the rest of it, because it's just another tactic to throw us all off balance. And that's not what's needed at this time.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So, Kavante, so, you know, just give us some parting words, whatever you want to say to those that are listening tonight. What words of wisdom would you like to impart before you leave?
Okay, well, one thing I want to say about the focus, I would never have this focus without the people around me. I was in a program called Upward Bound, where I came in as a freshman, didn't know anything what I wanted to do after high school. I didn't know if I wanted to go to college or not. But it was one person, her mm-hmm. name was Miss Kim Hills, who saw something in me that no one else did. To where, like, mm-hmm. she always motivated me each year of high school to where I had a decent GPA to go to college. And she figured out, mm-hmm. she always made the right, she did anything for me to where I could get in because, like I said, I didn't know if I wanted to go to college. So I just want to say, like, that focus that I had, it came from Up or Down, Kim Hills, to where she introduced me to some people that she went to college with. And we visited Seattle, Washington last year.
Mm-hmm.
To where the people didn't even know me, strangers basically, let me stay with them so I could have an intern working for King County Metro.
Wow.
Yeah. So I just know I had to say that or not because I know she'd get me. But yeah. And to all the kids out there, don't lose focus. Know what you want to do. If not, it will come. Take your time. Keep God first.
Mm.
You can talk to me if you want to. I don't mind. I will help you. And
that's right.
That's it.
Mm. That's enough. I mean, guys, you got your focus as to I'm hearing several things here. You know, working on
yeah.
your major, you're a senior, you're graduating soon, you're going to get that degree in construction management, you're going out on the West Coast to begin your career, you know, in construction management. And in the process of all that, you want to do some humanitarian things. You want to mentor others. You want to build communities. You want to make an impact. You want to make a cultural impact. I just, you know, I'm hearing all of that out of you. And with everything you say, I smile harder. You know, you can't see me, but I'm sitting here with the great big Kool-Aid grin thinking, go get it. Just go on and get that thing. Do it. Because we're in a place in our world where we need a whole lot of Cavantes. And it's just such a refreshing blessing to see a young black male with his focus as sound as yours and going forward. And I just want you to know that I am super proud of you. I am so proud of you. I tell you, I can't say it enough. And I know that everything that you set out to do, you're going to make it happen. And you have done well here tonight in expressing your views and letting us know where you are and where you intend to go. So, Mia, you have any last words for Cavante before he goes?
I'm just beaming internally from the inside out, from ear to ear. You know, this is breaking. This is the positive breaking news that I look forward to hearing and that I relish. Once again, you know, keep doing what you're doing. I'm just as proud of you. I wish you were
yes.
also, in addition, you know, to my family. Perhaps we are related. You know, to my another son. Love to have you. I'm very proud.
That's
of you.
Right.
All of your efforts, for all of, you know, your tenacity, your perseverance, and don't, you know, keep up the race, young man. Keep up the
Thank
race.
You.
Yes.
Appreciate that.
Yes, yes. Now, you know, you ought to know by now that I'm going to call on you again, that you're going to be back on the show again.
Oh, yeah.
You
yeah,
ought
yeah.
to know that.
I'm nervous.
I couldn't tell you were nervous.
Oh, man, I was definitely nervous.
You did a great job. You did a phenomenal job, Cavante, and I definitely want you to come back soon because I'm trying to do what I call the millennial moment because I want to broadcast you guys. I want to promote what you're doing. I want the world to know what you're doing as often as possible and just know that this show is heard all over the world. So the three of us on this line right now, excuse me, all in North Carolina at the moment. But
yes.
we're being heard all over the world. So you got people in Africa and in India and different countries that are saying, wow, that young man, yeah, I want to be like him, you know, and I want to, and I believe he's gonna do some great things. I see some great things coming forth from you. I always did. And very respectful young man. He always have just been so pleasant to be around. He has an outstanding personality. I've had the pleasure of knowing him since he was a young boy. But Kavante, you know, stay the course. We love you, and you definitely got an invitation to come back again.
Thank you. All right. I got one last thing to say before you leave me.
Sure.
All right. To everyone out there.
Absolutely.
Keep God first. Don't lose consistency. And strive for greatness. Thank you.
Mm. Woohoo! Love
Very
it.
Well, thank
you. All right, everybody. I love it. This boy going to be something. I will be following his career. Kavante Davidson. Yes, yes. We got to have that young man back. He is so refreshing. He don't know how much he got me grinning till my cheeks hurt. I am so proud of him. Okay, so at this time, what we're going to do before me and I are going to talk a little bit more, but I have a friend, you heard me say in the intro, Skylar Jett is a singer, producer, promoter, songwriter. He has a golden voice. I love him. I call him my big brother. We co-hosted a radio show together for 5 years called Solutions Now Radio. He is an entertainer. He, like I said, he has performed with some of the greatest voices in the entertainment industry, in the music industry. He's a Grammy recognized vocalist. He sang on the Titanic soundtrack with Celine Dion and some others. His voice can be heard in the background music for the movie Ghost Dad. He sang with the likes of people like Whitney Houston, Luther Vandross, Sting, Mariah Carey. He has sang with a lot of people. But a couple years ago, Skylar did this video because, again, he does a lot of humanitarian work, and his organization is called Music Can Change the World. And he did this song a few years back, right after Katrina, in fact, that was called A Calling. And he was appealing to the world at that point to use their individual talents and their calling to make an impact because Katrina was so devastating. You can find the actual – I'm going to play the song now, but you can find the actual video that he did with all of those very heart-touching and profound photos by going to YouTube, and you can just type in A Calling and the name Skylar Jett, and Jett is spelled with two T's. Skylar, Skyler, Jett, Jett, and type in A Calling, and that video will come up, and it's a beautiful video. But for now, I'm going to play it, and on the other side of that video, me and I will discuss a little, do a few discussions about the current events. All right, and here it is, A Calling by Skylar Jett.
To the leaders of the world with a sense of community. It's time we bring self-awareness to the planet. It's a call for humanity. There are those that teach hate in the world, drowning out our cries for peace. Holding space for the world to heal is our responsibility. Calling out to everyone. This is a calling.
of songwriters who'd like to heal somebody's heart. Why do we keep fighting wars around the world, completely tearing us all apart?
Tearing us all apart.
So many families they help around the planet, suffering fate beyond despair.
Fate beyond despair.
Let's unite all around the world and show them all we really care. All the homeless living on our streets can't even find a place to eat. This is a calling. This is a calling out to everyone. This is a calling. And this is the way.
All right, and that was my big brother, Skylar Jett. And for those of you that are interested in learning more about Skylar or about his Music Can Save the World Foundation, you can do so by visiting his website at skylarjett.com. And you can also find him on Twitter and Facebook by typing in the name Skylar Jett. Again, that's SKYLERJETT. And that was just beautiful. Skylar wrote that song right around the time of Katrina. He's written music for breast cancer survivors. Most of his music is, again, addresses humanitarian causes. He's written songs about war and peace and love and all of those things that are near and dear to his heart. He currently resides in the UK. Again, check him out, SkylarJett.com, and check out all the music that he has and his life and the things that he's involved in with Music Can Save the World. So, Mia, did you like that song?
Pardon me, yes, very much so, very much so. It was, you know, definitely was a clean, what I call a good, clean, wholesome selection or wholesome hymn with a message. So it's my kind of music. Yes.
Yes. Yes, and that's what Skylar does. Just about all the music that he writes, it addresses a particular issue in our world that he wants to see addressed, and that's how he uses his big microphone to get a message out. And he's from the San Francisco Bay Area. When he did this video, he actually went around and he saw homeless people on the street and things like that. So, and he just urges all of us to use that which God has given all of us to make a difference in our world. And that's the one thing that I would love, that I wish that we would all do, every man, woman, and child in this world, is just find out what it is. If you don't know what your purpose is, if you have no idea, pray for guidance, pray for revelation. Because personally, I believe that your passion is your purpose. Whatever you're most passionate about, I believe that's why you're here on this earth. But use whatever you have to make a difference. And I believe if more of us were doing that, we would see a lot of this stuff that is wrong in our world be addressed. So that's what we need to do. So, Mia, what you got for me? What's the thing that you would like to talk about for the next few minutes?
Well, let's see. Boy, my mind goes in 50 million directions. There's always communication. It's been a recurring theme this week, which is relevant to my upcoming project this Sunday, which is, I spoke about communications, and I'm actually encouraging people to do an exercise aligned with communication. Apart from that, I could speak on it, or we could digress and segue into other topics.
Oh no, go ahead, please. I'd like to put it out there.
The sky's the limit. My sister inspired me, and this was definitely a forthcoming topic, you know, inspiration versus competition. She inspired me to have, my project, this next episode, which has to do with the written word, just communicating with members of your circle by virtue of a handwritten letter. How often, have we done that? Just revisiting some of the old communications methods as once before, which some people may deem as being antiquated, but unearthing those things. And she caught various members of our family off guard, where she just surprised us, pleasantly surprised us with this, heart-drenched letter to each one of us, to my dad, to me, to another sibling. And it was void of criticism, which is what I'm suggesting people to do. Write a letter to someone that you value, someone within your circle. Take a dive, step out on faith. And just exposing that, that vulnerability.
I like that.
That's quite a curveball compared to what we've been discussing this evening. But that's my mind that has been so wrapped around it.
And communication is critical, because one of the things that I've learned over the course of my life thus far is that a lack of communication is destructive to relationships. And if you're not communicating effectively with those, whether it's a romantic relationship or friendship or family or a career, whatever it is, if there's not effective communication there's a problem. So definitely I like that idea that you just posed.
Okay. Like I said, it's preaching to the choir. It's like about, I've been speaking on it for over a week, and it's still going. But you're right; it is critical. It is critical, and it does make or break you, which is definitely something that I've communicated and conveyed to others. How important it is, to not only listen but to be responsive, because we have far too many mediums nowadays not to.
Exactly. Absolutely. And I'm thinking too that when our children are little, I'm thinking that that's something that as parents that we need to get back to, or perhaps start for some of us, and that is making sure that you have a line of communication open with your kids, and just talking to them. And I'm going to tell you one of the things that kind of bug me when it comes down to communication breakdown. Oftentimes, when I don't go to fast food restaurants often, but when I do, one of the things that that just really, really, really irked me. It's when I'm talking to a young person on a register, whether it's fast food or in, a store or whatever, and I can't understand what they're saying because they're chopping up their words or they're speaking too fast or, they just don't have good, strong communication skills. And it's like, I know that we're living in this world of 140 characters and all that. I fully realize that. But, it's just so many of our young people cannot, effectively communicate. And I don't say that all of that should come from book learning or being in school. Some of that should be able to start at home, how to have a conversation with people, how to be able to answer questions that are posed to you. And answer that question in an effective way. I mean, it's just, I'm not saying you got to go and get a PhD in communication. I'm just saying that oftentimes when I go places and they'll say, yeah, may I help you? And when I start telling what I want and they speaking back, I can't even understand what they're saying because they're so used to speaking in this 140 characters or chopping up the words or just not being effective communicator and communicators. And as one that studied communications at college myself, that is very aggravating to me. And I try not to let it show, but I think a lot of that should start at home. What do you think about that?
Well, you're preaching to the choir on that. this is so reminiscent. I'm hearing so many elements of what I just vocalized this past Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping, we had some technical challenges, with that particular broadcast, but it looks like, still able to get my point across to some listeners according to the analytics. But anyway, mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like, it's waning. And I actually, opened up with it's a poetic Once Upon a Time. Once upon a time, there was a time, we wrote to one another. We wrote letters. We had telephones. We had telephone booths. People responded.
Mm-hmm.
People exercised and enforced etiquette. Everything wasn't abbreviated. Why is everything so hurried now? IDKs, OMGs. Now, don't get me wrong. I am guilty of utilizing it, but I also believe in preserving. The written vernacular, the English language, speaking in complete sentences, speaking, interpersonally.
Right.
So people, have a means of conveying, there's no body language in messaging. There's no body language in texting, but when you're on the phone, when you could hear the inflection in a person's voice, if you're separated by geographic space, if you're in the same space and you're looking eye to eye, person to person at that person, you're not only hearing the inflections in their voice, but you have body language to go along with that. Well, you and I, listen, we're masters of communication, having majored in it, having studied it.
That's right.
I don't think it's necessarily something that you have to major. It really boils down to effort and common courtesy.
Good point.
Whatever happened to the common courtesy of an exchange, as versus, one-way communication or, I communicate, one communicates to the other, one initiates and the other, as I refer to, blatantly opts not to respond. What happened to...
Absolutely.
What happened to the flow, the interdependence? I'm sorry, I'm babbling, but go ahead.
No. Uh-uh. You're not babbling. Absolutely. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Because like I said, it's just too often, not just in going, to these establishments, but sometimes just, like you said, just having conversations. It bugs me because it seems like it's becoming more accepted, like it's becoming the norm. Like subject verb agreement doesn't matter anymore. It's just like you can sound as uneducated as, and again, I don't want to all put it in the context of education, but I'm just saying that we have to be able to present ourselves in a certain way, you know, because I worry a lot about these younger ones when they're getting their first jobs. How do you go in and respond to that interviewer that you know, you apply for this job and you may do well on paper as far as filling out the requested information, but when you're sitting across the desk from the interviewer and they're asking you a series of questions, how are you able to answer? You know, you can't go in there with 140 characters, you know, and for them to say, okay, yeah, you know, you got this job and we're going to start you out at $75,000 a year. You have to be able to, and not just in career-wise, but in, again, like in relationships, friendships, it doesn't matter. Communications is very, and I'm going to have to go back and listen to your show on that because I know that it was fabulous. I love those kind of topics because I believe that that's something that we definitely should be teaching the younger ones that's coming up behind us, because I do see a lot of that lacking.
Yeah, it is. And you know, this 140 characters, you know, this really just stops me in my tracks. Why? I mean, why do we have to limit ourselves to 140 characters when once mm-hmm. upon a time, once again, I hate to sound cliche, but we wrote infinitely, an infinite number of pages of letters, spritzed with
mm-hmm.
Dolce and Gabbana, spritzed with cool water and Bulgari and some of these fragrances.
Yes.
The match. What happened to that? Can we,
absolutely.
Is why, in large part, why I'm suggesting that, you know, listeners do this. In fact, the more I think about it, I think I want to make it a challenge. You know, challenge yourself. You know, write multiple letters. You know, write a letter to every member within your family circle. You know, let's exercise some of this. Let's bring this.
Wow. And, you know, I cannot honestly recall the last time I've written somebody a letter. I can't. It has been that long. And, you know, and recently, and everything you're saying is just nothing but pure gospel. I was thinking about recently, it's my sister's birthday, and we were at a Red Lobster restaurant celebrating her birthday, and I just kind of looked around the area where I was sitting and looking at the different customers and people that were there. And every table, it didn't even matter the age of the person sitting at those tables, but just about every person at the tables were looking at their phones. You know, the kids, the parents, some of the grandparents. Everybody was looking at their phones. And so that does stop communication. I know that I have a sister that goes crazy if we're all at her house and we're having dinner or whatever, and you know, if you're sitting at the dinner table, she don't even want you to bring your phone to the table, because that does keep people from interacting with one another, because you're more concerned with what's going on social media or whatever it is that you're looking at on that phone than it is the people that are around you. And I do believe that these things do affect relationships, because relationships can't stand, no matter what kind of relationship it is, it just cannot stand without effective communication. And so everything you're saying just kind of, even on myself, shines a light on myself that maybe sometimes we stay on these phones a little bit too much. And I know that I probably do too.
Yes, and we're all guilty of it. I mean, but the key, and, you know, this is getting off, you know, segueing on to another topic, just being able to, just utilizing it, being practical, utilizing it as needed and tuning out and not allowing yourself
mm-hmm.
to be consumed by your technology. And I'd like to challenge myself also in that regard. You know, when we're out at dinner, I know when we're at home at dinner, yes, phones are down. Phones are put away, technology, we're not watching TV, any of that, no screens. But just to implore people, you know, to do the same, let's bring back some organic activity. You know, it's that's family
yes.
time. If you're out, even if you're out and about at a venue, it's one-on-one family time.
I really wish that kind of challenge could take off. Like they did that time when they were doing that ice challenge or the ice water challenge, you know, when people were pouring ice cold water over people's heads and raising money off of that. You know, I just wish that a challenge such as the one that you're issuing now could take off like that did, because I do, even myself, I just feel like if I leave that phone at home and I'm out someplace and I don't forgot my phone or I've left it in the car or whatever the case is, you know, then I'm like, I feel weird. I don't have my phone. It's almost like I forgot to get dressed this morning. You know, it just, it's crazy that we have become so, we've just become so, I can't even think of the word, like addicted, I guess is for lack of a better term, to these electronics. And I know sometimes I used to go to bed at a decent hour, but I'm a writer, so I stay up late anyway. I'm always writing. But still, we got to have time for that human interaction. And that piece is seriously being affected, that human interaction. So I'm going to try to take your challenge up and begin the process of limiting my time online, and particularly on social media.
Yeah, well, we can both challenge one another together. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and modify. I'm going to tweak my episode coming up. And, you know, just to suggest to people, make it a challenge, you know, at least one letter. But if you could do multiple letters, you know, within just starting with your family circle, if you want to play, if they want to play it safe, doesn't have to be a romantic or significant other, you know, just even within your family. But under one condition, that it's positive. So this is what this is what my upcoming episode will be on Sunday.
Okay. And those of you who are listening, make sure that you tune in to Mia's show. I mean, she's really starting to pick up a nice audience, and she has some outstanding topics. And while we're on that subject, before I say that, I'm trying to wait to 8:15 if I can. Mia, I understand if you can't stay, but if you can, I'd love to have you. But it's just going to be a couple more minutes. We had Jay Dwayne Garnett was on with us a couple weeks ago. He has this movement called Love the Parable. And I had asked him to stop by tonight and give us an update on what he's doing. I know he wants to put together a rally, a love rally, what he's calling Love Fest. And I want to see what kind of progress he's making with that, because I think that's awesome, especially in light of this current hostile atmosphere that we are experiencing in the United States of America. But before then, okay, so, I wanted to let you know, this show now, the National International Roundtable started in 2013, in August of 2013, and the hosts were Arif Khatib, who is the founder of the Multi-Ethnic Sports Hall of Fame, and Municipal Court Judge Fad Wilson, and they carried this show for about 4 years. So, yeah, well, 4 years to now. So this month, May 4 years. I'm sorry. I was typing something. It gets kind of hard there sometimes to multitask. But anyway, what I wanted to let you know is the judge and Arif, they're not retiring, but they are kind of stepping back, and his assistant Mickey will be taking over this show. And I know that the name will change. Mickey will be changing the name. She'll be changing the format. We'll still be doing the last Wednesday of the month on this broadcast, but we'll be on a different name change and under a different host. But everything else will pretty much be the same. I think Mickey will be incorporating music and spoken word and that type of thing. So there'll be a variety of things going on this broadcast, but we'll keep you abreast of all that as those changes are made. And we certainly, bid a hearty farewell to Arif and the judge and wish them well on their endeavors. Those two are two of the hardest working men I ever had the pleasure of meeting. They work hard. So we will miss hearing their voices on air, but they are behind the scenes still working some things out. So back to the National International Roundtable with my co-host tonight, Mia Vasquez. Well, I can't even talk. Mia Vasquez-Skills. I got somebody on the line here. Let's see who we got here. Standby. Area code 803. Welcome to the show. Who do we have on the line?
Hey, this is Jay.
Hey there, Jay. I thought it was you, but I wanted to be sure. It's good to have you back on the show. I'm always excited to talk to you because you are another millennial on the move, and I love it. So what you got going on these days?
Nothing much other than, you know, Love is a Parable is still in the forefront. We've actually have been doing some great things. We have launched our promotional video. It came out the July 29th.
Okay.
So that is out. If anybody is interested, they can go to loveisaparable.com. And you can actually click on the announcement link at the top of the website, and it'll take you directly to the Love is a Parable video. In addition to that, we've also decided to start. Remember, we were talking about the Love Fest or the Love Rally that I was really interested in doing. Well, I actually drafted some letters and sent them out to a couple of officials. And the first one to respond is the mayor of Holly Springs, the Honorable Dick Sears, and he actually loved the idea. And he's in the process of putting together a committee because we want to get this definitely integrated in the culture of the town of Holly Springs.
Yay!
So that's pretty
cool.
So
I had to get that out of my system. I am so glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Wow, you know you got to keep me posted because I want to be there.
Yes, ma'am, I sure will.
I definitely want to be there.
I'm excited. Yep.
Excited
about
you remember Faye, right? Yeah, Mia, you remember when we had Jay on the show a few weeks ago?
I do recall, yes.
Yeah, so he looked like the Love Fest is going for us. Yay.
Yep.
So this is amazing. So do you have, like, maybe a target date or projected date of when it might happen?
No. I did, in the meeting with the mayor, he was thinking that it probably would make more sense around October and November. Because this is actually the time that they're going to have the election season. So this is where more people are in tune, trying to make sure they're satisfying the needs of their various communities. So he feels like if we do it around that time, that'll be the best time to get the most traction, but also bring awareness, you know, to the things that are happening.
Okay, so now we're talking about 17 or 18?
He actually was talking about what we want to do first. We kind of want to do it in three phases. The first phase is really sitting down, having a kind of like a think tank moment where we come together, brainstorm, and figure out what we want to do, what's the most effective way of doing it, and then come up with a plan to execute. Then after that, we actually want to have basically a town hall meeting to discuss ways to heal the various divides that separate us. And then after that, we want to end it with our Love Fest, Love Rally, Love Conference, whatever we're going to call it. But that is the plan so far, is to implement it in a three-stage phase just to make sure that we're covering all of our tracks.
I love it.
I met with him on Monday, and he told me to give him until tomorrow or Friday. So I'm going to wait and see what we have going, and I definitely will keep you guys posted.
Oh, yes, you must. Oh, my goodness, this sounds so great. I look forward to it. This will be like a counter to some of these other things that are going on publicly, you know, and I think right now we need all the positivity we can get to be injected into the atmosphere. And that's some great positivity, there. Nia, you still there?
I'm still with you. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. So what do you think about that, Jay, just about getting this thing together?
Hey, sounds like positive progress and progress to me. That's one of my mottos. The same, you know, the same as I said before, earlier, not to sound redundant, but I would just say, hey, you know, keep moving forward with the formula. You're making things happening at lightning speed.
Yes, ma'am, yes. I sure will. Did you guys get a chance to check out the video?
I'm going back as soon as we get off air. I've seen you posting it, and I'm going back to look at it in its entirety. I think I did click on one day, but I haven't seen it in its entirety. But as soon as we get off air right here tonight, I'm going there to take a look, and then I'm going to share it. Because I definitely look forward to keeping up with everything that you're doing and what you're going to do, because I love this. I love the concept. I really do.
Thank you. I will say the very first day, we launched it on the 29th. On the 30th, we received a message from someone who said, you know, I was contemplating suicide until I saw your video. So
oh my God.
That kind of touched me right there.
That's profound. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Look at God.
We had another young lady reach out to us and said, hey, I've been having some problems speaking to my brother because he's been battling depression. He really don't want to talk to anybody. She said, but I sent him your video, and now he's in the room smiling and spending time all over your website. So things are happening.
Wow.
So I'm actually excited.
Look at that. Awesome. Gosh, I love this. Because this just proves that, you know, and this is something I've been talking about with people for the last couple of days, people in my circle, about purpose. If we all, because God gives us a talent, a purpose, an ability, a gift to be able to reach others. And if we're not walking in that thing, then we are denying the people that need it what they need. We're not reaching those that God has assigned us to. Because, you know, for whatever reason, some people just figure, oh, you know, I know I'm talented, but, hey, I'm lazy, I don't want to do nothing, or unless I get a big fat paycheck, I'm not doing anything, or, oh, well, you know, it's just something I do. But, no, if this thing is strategic, and just listening to you, that just proves it. You know, you got this movement going, Love is a Parable. I love those T-shirts. I love that logo. And here you're talking about somebody who said that they were contemplating ending their life until they saw that video, because that purpose that was assigned to you through the calling that you were given was meant to reach that individual. And I just wholeheartedly believe that God got a certain amount of people that he has assigned to each of us. And whatever we have is supposed to reach those people. So this, I love it. This is awesome. I am so proud of you.
I definitely received that, and I'm definitely in agreement. I want to touch as many people as humanly possible, because
just
no one would not love. Yeah.
Sounds like you're already doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. I'm trying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get that. I'm in agreement. But asking for now. We're definitely asking for more to share. Love is a Parable.
Mm-hmm.
Share that video with as many people as possible, because sometimes it's the ones that's closest to us that go through most of the things, and we don't think that they're going through because we see them every day. And they will really
mm-hmm.
be the ones that are suffering the most, and you never would think about it until you share something like this. And it's a great conversation piece. It has four different phases of love deficiency that one can talk about. Then it has four different ways to start love. So it's definitely a conversation piece if you're going through a transition in your life or you just need someone to talk to or someone to understand. This can actually start that. I'm 100% behind it, and I do believe it, that it's a way, you know, to bridge a lot of the things that separate us.
Wow. I do agree, and I do think that that's a lot of what's wrong in our world right now, because there is such a lack of love, which reminds me of the scriptures, of course, where the Bible says that because people's, you know, because evil abounds, iniquity abounds, the love of most will wax cold. And when we see that all of this hatred that we see in our world, it's attributed to a lack of love. Some people just are incapable of loving because they themselves probably never known real love. And I think that this is a good way. I see this movement spreading because I think, like I was telling somebody earlier today, people are looking for light in this world. This world seems to be darkening in so many ways. And I hate to sound so pessimistic, but it is what I see, that the world seems to be darkening and people are looking for those points of light. You know, and so even Love is a Parable is a great source of light for people that may be unsure about love or who loves them. And I think a lot of people that do commit suicide or harm themselves or go through things like that are people who just don't feel that anyone cares. And if they really felt that someone cared, I think they'd be less likely, to hurt themselves.
Yeah. I really would like for us not only to just talk about it, but come up with really plans of action to do something about it. Because what I've realized, too, just listening to people talk about love and even talk about societal issues as a whole, we can identify the problems, but people are not sure what is their role. One of the things that I do like, when we had the march in Durham, the gathering in Durham, the counter protest in Durham. One of the things that I liked about that is that we saw more white people in Black Lives Matter tease, more white people speaking up for blacks because they understand that being silent is a form of consent. But there are other ways that we can start mobilizing things. Like I had a friend reach out to me, said, hey, I had to unfriend one of my friends because he was going on a racist rant. Well, to be honest, if he's your friend, he felt comfortable enough to share that with him, don't delete him. Have a conversation with him and let him know how it's wrong. Because if you delete him, all he's going to do is connect with like-minded people. And guess what? Now he has a stronghold of racism now because it's fortified. We need to start having these conversations and not be afraid to have conversations. One of the greatest things about having who we have in office right now is that the President of the United States, 45, is forcing us to deal with issues that we swept up under the rug. And so it's now time to have those conversations and time to do something about it.
It is. Because, it was never dealt with. Whoever coined that phrase that we had arrived at a post-racial America was delusional. I just think that his appearance in office really just stirred the pot of dissension so much that everything coming out now. Because, it's like they don't care. They're not hiding. They're making it known, I'm a racist, I don't care what you can't do nothing about it. But you're absolutely right. And there has to be something done in a peaceful manner because you can't fight crazy people and expect, to be victorious without something bad happening. But I think it has to be done peacefully. And I'm glad to see, especially like with your movement, because that is a counter to all of those things that are going on. As people of color, we know all too well, from civil rights and Jim Crow and all that, what these things look like. So they should be easily identified now. And we should educate ourselves on how to move forward with these things, how to get past it. We can't stand and yell back across the street at them all the time. We can't be ready to throw
right.
hands, you know, start throwing hands and punches, right? We got to do
right.
this thing in a way that's going to be a lot more effective, because everybody's packing heat these days. And, you know, and standing across the street screaming at them ain't going to do nothing but get somebody's head busted open or somebody shot. We got to use that brain power and our heart
right.
and that spirit and those things that God has put inside us. That's where our greatest weapons are, and we're going to have to utilize
right.
them.
I agree 100%.
Yeah. Well, we see what all this throwing hands is doing. It's getting people's heads cracked open. And that ain't benefiting nobody. I mean, that right there is, that's crazy. I'm not going out there to fight nobody. You know, I mean, I'm going to fight you on my knees, or I'm going to fight you with my brain somehow. But I ain't getting out there throwing no punches. That ain't about to happen, you know, because some people, they don't fear jail, they don't fear hell, they don't fear nothing, and they out there saying, hey, bring it, you know, and I be hearing about it on the news that I sure hate it for that guy, pray for his family,
right.
but I know that ain't what I'm about to do. I want to find another way to fight, and even love is a parable, that's a weapon. That is a weapon. Anything that is opposite of darkness, and that's opposite of darkness, light, darkness cannot stand. Darkness has to flee when light comes. So love is a parable of light. So when you bring that forward, you know, in this big, community way, and bring all these people together, what the darkness has to flee for that time. And so I'm with you all the way. Yes, darkness got to go. And that's just what I see right now, nothing but darkness. We got a lot to keep our, you know, there's a lot going on in our world. But if we got to stay in our own lane and work what God has given us from our own lane. And I don't get in nobody else's way. I do what God has called me to do. I try to do that to the best of my ability. And these are the days. These are the days when we need to do it. There's no time like the present. And it's got to be done. That's why I'm so glad to hear that you've been able to get in touch with officials who are going to work along with you to make the Love Fest come forward, because I think people are waiting, and they need this. They need what you have. And it's going to be like food to the soul. I mean, because if we don't have something good to look towards, all we can do is just keep paying attention to all of this bad stuff that's going on. So we do need that counter. And I thank you for being obedient to the call.
Well, thank you. I really do appreciate that. You just don't know how much that encouraged me. But I think that Ms. Mill was trying to say something at one point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead, Mia.
No, I was just basically silently agreeing with you all, actually. You know, just sharing your sentiments because, I'm taking the MLK approach to things, the peaceful, I'm the peaceful protester, the tree hugger, as my sister deems me to be. And you know, that was pretty much the only comment that I was going to make in regards to that.
Yes.
Well, I'm in the same boat, and I'm definitely in agreement with you as well.
Well, you know that this platform is open to you. Anytime you want to come on and promote and talk about what you're doing, I got to order my T-shirt. I've been talking about that, so I got to get that T-shirt. And maybe I start wearing it here, then maybe some more people will want to put in an order for it as well. But I'm definitely going to go and check out the website tonight and share that video. Because I want to help in any way that I can.
Yes, ma'am, and I definitely will appreciate that. I actually have some shirts on me because I have at a speaking event on the 15th in Durham, and I'll share that with you on Facebook. It's the 15th,
mm-hmm.
and it's for a benefit. It's a benefit dinner to combat homelessness, and so I have an event there, and I wanted to have some shirts on hand. And some of the people in the area were asking me whether or not I had any tank tops. So I specially ordered some tank tops that they won't find on the website. So if you want a tank top, definitely let me know, in addition to the normal clothes.
Sounds good. Sounds good. I tell you, I love it. Love it, love it, love it. You certainly got my support, and I'm going to help out any way that I can. Mia? I think Mia might be focusing on something else at the moment. But anyway, Jay, I am so glad you got a chance to stop in. I was going to get in touch with you earlier in the week and let you know that we was going to have a show and I wanted you on, because I try to do a millennial moment as often as I can to get some of the younger ones in and talk to us. And we've had two great ones on tonight, you and Kavante Davis, and it's just been a great conversation. And I am just so glad that you were able to make it with us tonight. And I just look forward to everything that you're doing. And I am going to definitely work on getting you to come to Wilson, where I am, and speak. I just got to look at some dates and some venues. But definitely want to get you here to help promote the Love is a Parable movement.
Well, awesome. Anything you need, just let me know. I'm always available. Even if it's not about Love is a Parable, even if you just need some support or some help with anything in the community, just let me know.
Oh, that's awesome, and I definitely will. Mia, you got anything for Jay before we leave tonight? I think Mia's multitasking back there. But again, Jay, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I will definitely be in touch, and I'm going to get my shirt, and I'm going to go on and listen to this and watch this video. We thank you so much again for joining us here on the National International Roundtable, and we'll be hoping to hear from you again real soon.
Likewise. Thank you so much. Y'all have a blessed night.
You too. Thank you. And that'll wrap it up for us tonight, guys, here on the National International Roundtable. I'm Essanice Newton. We want to thank all of our listeners, local, national, and international, for taking the time to be with us tonight as we spoke with Kavante Davis. Remember that name, that young man is going places. Jay Garnett, another young man that's going places. And if you can get behind these two young men, we want you to do that. Get behind them. Support what they're doing. Jay's website is loveisaparable.com. Please go and check out his website. Check out the video, the merchandise that they have available for sale. Support. And you can even get in touch with me if you have any questions for Jay, and I will pose them to him. And again, thank you, Kavante Davis from North Carolina A&T State University, for stopping in and just being so inspirational, so proud of him, too. And again, thank you, listeners near and far, here on the National International Roundtable, where we always try to inform and inspire and empower in the best way that we can. If you are in the Houston, Texas area, just know, or the Louisiana area, any place affected by these devastating storms, just know that you are in our hearts, our thoughts, our prayers, and in our love tonight, and we are going to continue to pray for your relief and the help that you need to get back on your feet. We're praying that God provides that help to you as soon as possible so that your life can return to somewhat of a sense of normalcy. We are definitely still praying for you. And for those of you that are out there, find out how you can help in the efforts in Houston, whether it's through financial donations or any other way that you can reach out and help the people of Houston, because the rebuilding process is going to be long and arduous. It's going to be very, very long, and the people are still suffering out there. And just think about it, it could be you. So, again, any way that you can help, please reach out. Make sure that if you're sending money for donations, make sure that it's through a reputable firm. There's been a lot of fakers out there. They're warning people now about giving money to certain organizations because that they're not honest organizations, and they are keeping the money. So be careful. Make sure before you send money anywhere that you know that this is a reputable organization before you send your money, because otherwise you could be sending your money to somebody that's going to do the wrong thing with it. So be, you know, heads up on that one. We certainly hope that you have a wonderful week. I'm being told, I think I just read a little while ago, that there is another storm brewing in the Atlantic. I believe the name is Irma, but we are going to pray Irma turn her hips around and go back to when she came. We don't need her in any of the states in this country. And pray, again, if you believe in prayer, pray for this country. Pray that our leaders will be able to not engage in World War III and a nuclear war with North Korea. Pray that something happens there to keep those things from happening. Right now, just if you don't believe in prayer, send positive vibes. I know all of you out there don't believe in prayer and all these things. That's on you. But nevertheless, send some positive thoughts, some positive vibes into the atmosphere because we need it. So everybody have a good night, and we will see you again later. Have a good evening, everybody.
From the kids table to the office party table, the game day table to the ugly Christmas sweater party table, Smart and Final has everything you need to make your table special. Party supplies, everyday groceries, more club sizes than club stores, with prices up to 25% lower than supermarkets. And make your holidays easier. Order at smartandfinal.com and your first delivery is free. This week, Cattleman's Finest bone-in beef ribeye roast, just $4.99 a pound. Limit one while supplies last, only at Smart and Final.
Ho, ho, ho! You know, many find it hard to believe Iona Slater can fly. But you know what I find hard to believe? The unbelievable offers going on at the winter event.
The Mercedes-Benz Winter Event is back with incredible offers on the sporty CLA, the thrilling C-Class, the versatile GLA, the safe and secure GLE, the innovative GLC, and of course, the unequaled E-Class. But hurry, because these sleighs are going fast. Visit mbusa.com/winter event. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing.